everyone, and welcome to episode 578 of the MTG Goldfish Podcast. I'm Seth, probably better known as Saffron Olive, and we have the full crew here this week. Kicking things off with the owner of MTG Goldfish, Richard. How are things going this fine Monday, Richard?
Good morning, Seth. I would like to share my feelings, but I can't. I had a good time playing a certain Magic the Gathering set this weekend. Been drafting like crazy. Ooh. Oh, it's so good. People are missing out, but you know.
I also spent a good chunk of my weekend drafting Pick 2 Draft, I will say, and I actually really enjoyed it. As much as I hate to admit it.
No, you can't say that.
I am
saying
you can't say that. Don't
say that.
Don't say that.
That doesn't fit the narrative.
We got another co-host from the other side of the world this week in Krim. How's it going, guys? I was going to say good morning, but I don't think it's morning where you're at the moment.
It feels like it's morning. I've been so confused with what time I'm in right now, because it's like technically 1 a.m. while I'm recording, but it's not 1 a.m. It's also hot here, but I love Singapore. Singapore is a beautiful city, so...
And I thought I was confused just because the clock's changed and it's been throwing me off by an hour. You got it way worse than I do.
Yeah. I mean, I have to do this, fly back, get acclimated again to California time with, you know, daylight savings
with the time
added
change,
on top of that.
So today we get a fun one. We are going to be tier ranking control finishers from throughout Magic's history. So we've been doing perfect for Krim because he loves his control decks. Richard and I have been doing the bracket matches. So we've been playing with a lot of old cards, and they got us thinking about classic control finishers. So we got a pretty good tier list that we're going to be going through. So that's the cast for today. But before we get into it, a couple of reminders. Today's show is brought to you by Card Conduit, the easiest way to sell your Magic cards. If you ever get tired of the hassles of buy listing, you can skip them with Card Conduit. You can use their curated service via sending as many cards as you want with a buy list value of $1 or more and pay just a 5% service fee. And if you want to do a bit of work, you can use their sorted service where you list and sort your cards in advance and pay just a 2% fee. Either way, you're going to get a detailed report with the results and a fast payment once your order is processed. And you can even get another 10% off by heading over to cardconduit.com/mtggoldfish. Card Conduit, it's the easiest way to sell your Magic cards. Our show is also brought to you by Heavy Play Advanced Gaming Equipment. The ETB playmat features a unique folding design, allowing you to fit it in a standard laptop bag. It's available in a wide variety of colors and also with original art. Equip Bag lets you snap your gear onto your playmat to move between rounds. Not that you're going to need it, because you're going to be sitting at table one all night. So head over to heavyplay.com/mtggoldfish or use the code mtggoldfish at checkout to save 10% off. So thank you to our sponsors for supporting the show. And let's talk some control finishers. So we have a list of 15 of what I would say are the most iconic control finishers throughout Magic's history. And we're going to do some ranking of these. And we might have to edit this part out. One question we never answered is, are we ranking these versus each other? Like, if all these cards existed in Standard now, how they would rank? Or is this, like, how good they were in their era? Like, is Sarah Angel a D because it would suck today? Or is it, like, an A because it was the best of the bad options in 1994?
I thought we were ranking it against
each other.
A mix of both. Okay. We'll figure out
how we just random game. Thalia a buff? I mean, like, right. Do we really care that Sarah Angel was S in its day? Right? But at the same time, we got to give a little nod to its historical
relevance. So kind of just everything, put it all in together, and we'll figure it out as we go along. Works for me. So these cards are arranged in chronological order. So we're going from the oldest up to the newest. And let's start with a classic, a card that, Richard, you actually smacked me with in a bracket match like a month ago. Sarah Angel. Today's Sarah Angel is that random uncommon in intro decks. But back in 1994, Sarah Angel was the truth. Just a 5-mana 4/4 flying vigilance in white. It legitimately was one of the best control finishers in the earliest days of Magic. So where do you guys put Sarah Angel? I feel like this is one of the hardest cards to rank, because this is really like, how much do you value current power? Because we've had this in Standard kind of recently, and it is literally unplayable. I'm not even sure it's that good in Limited anymore. It might be like okay in Limited these days. But we've had it in Standard not that long ago, sees no play. Or do you value the fact that it was really good, you know, 30 years ago? So what do you guys think? Richard Krim, we're going to start with MB. Where do we put Sarah Angel?
yo, guys, we can't be saying, you know, oh, Turtles was a fun draft and then putting this low. We can't. We got to put this higher, else the internet's going to be mad at us.
There's no pizza in it, so it's got to be D-tier,
I mean,
right?
Honestly, there's no pizza.
I mean, when I think of the early days of Magic, like the first few years and creatures, it's Sarah Angel, Shivan Dragon. Those are the two that always come to mind. So I think this literally is one of the most iconic creatures in Magic's history. Power level just, I mean, we've had 30 years of power creep. I don't know. I'd probably put it as like a C. Like, honestly, I think its current power
C
level
is very
B-tier.
Generous.
I would consider putting it in C tier just because of its historical ramifications. But I don't know. What do you guys think?
These are all historically relevant.
Yep.
Yeah.
These, somebody's got to live in their D. time.
Somebody's got to live in D. I'm just going to say that. I would say even for its era, it was not the best finisher, because the best finisher is queued up, is next on deck for that era, right? Because at the end of the day, you're still paying 5 mana to get Swords to Plowsh. And you know, back then, removal was efficient, okay? So you are literally losing 4 mana on this exchange. And you needed a combo piece, right? Which was a stacks piece, right? Like, it really shown by, you know, you stacks your opponent down and you hit them with the vigilance.
Yeah.
So it wasn't even an all-in-one finisher. You kind of needed the other part of it. And we've had many iterations of this card. I think Baneslayer was probably the last one that saw. There was another angel that saw play.
Lyra,
Lifelinker, Dawnbringer.
Yeah, like we've had random iterations, and they've always been not control finishers, but kind of like mid range sideboard.
They're
tech,
the things you bring out of the sideboard against aggro, right? Yeah.
So yeah, some of these other ones like are always in your deck no matter what. You always want to draw it no matter the matchup. Like Sarah Angel is not there, so I think someone's got to live in D.
Well, right. Since Richard said it, I guess agree.
Richard can take the heat for this one.
Oh, God. I like turtles, and I hate Sarah Angels. No.
And I will say, when we did the bracket match with the Black Lotus control deck, Sarah Angel finally dealt the damage that made me die, but it really was like you stacking me out of the game that let you win. The real finish was like
Did the stacks kill you, or was it Sarah Angel? I guess it's Sarah Angel.
You know, the card that actually killed me is a card we're going to talk about right now. And this is another card that doesn't look very good by 2026 standards, but if you play 1994 Magic, oh boy, Black Vice is a card. So Black Vice is a 1-mana artifact that says if an opponent has more than 4 cards in their hand during their upkeep, it deals 1 damage to that opponent for each card in excess of 4. So if you have 7 cards in your hand, you take 3 on your upkeep, 6, you take 2, so on and so forth. And this is a card that, it looks so bad, but when you combine this with the stacks of early Magic, like you play this and drop a Stasis so your opponent can't ever really cast anything, and eventually you just like 2 them and then 3 them and then 3 them and then 3 them, and they just die to it. But what do you think of Black Vice? I think this was the real finisher in 1994, but what do you guys think?
I think a real finisher, yes, in 1994. I think this is a C. I'm sorry.
Is it playable today? Like, do we have any like Black Vice effects that are just sitting there
the
and not being played?
The closest we got was Fevered Visions, right? That's what I can think of.
That was a deck and that was played.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. But Fevered
Visions also is Howling Mind attached to a Black Vice, right? But in this day and age, like everyone is full of cards in hand. You're stock upping, you're quantum riddling, whatever. Like, can we actually win with this? Or if you're going to the late game and your opponent still has 7 cards, you die. You're cooked, right?
I think
you're going to die anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. But I feel like
it's only
you're
1 mana. You can actually get it down and still protect either yourself or it or whatever, right? Like, is it playable? Someone play this card and tell me you can do anything.
It does see pre-modern play. There's still a pre-modern deck, although that's kind of like the old school decks we've been playing in the bracket. So it's kind of similar to that. I would say it's just too slow for modern Magic. Like, sure, your opponent's going to have 7 cards in hand, but even best case scenario, you play this in what? Like, it takes 6 or 7 turns to go from 20 down to 0. Like, it's just such a slow clock. So I think it works really well in an era of, like, Stasis and Humilities and these, like, hey, you just can never kill me kind of cards. But I don't
picked
think it would see playing
Seam
standard
Rip,
today. I'd be surprised. It does get got by Seam Rip and
picked up
the
by
Seju
Seam Rip.
And, yeah.
I guess that's true. Artifacts are much easier to remove nowadays.
I also think that it is much easier for decks to, when they want to, empty their hand. in the also current true. Year, like, way easier to empty your hand. That even because like everything's like one mana, two mana.
That's fine.
Things like
then
that.
You wrath them. What like, that's okay.
You gotta have a wrath in hand,
and it's gotta actually kill everything, which is a tough task.
I could actually see maybe modern, like maybe if this was modern legal off of Ursus Saga, maybe there'd be something there with that. But as far as standard, I'd be surprised.
I give it look, it's actually like an archetype, like 8-rack. It sees legacy play.
But that's like the opposite of A-Rack.
But Shrieking Affliction and things like that actually kill faster, I feel. And kind of work better in a game plan where you want to lower their cards as opposed to them.
It's less risky for your opponent to sit with zero cards in hand than with seven cards in hand. A little less risk.
All right, a little less risk.
All the old cards are falling off.
Just wait. We got more old cards coming, including Superman, literally the best creature ever made when it was printed in Morphling. So Morphling,
yes,
5 mana. It's a 3/3. You can pay a blue, untap it. You can pay a blue to give it fly. You can pay a blue to make it shrouded until end of turn. Can't be the target of spells or abilities. Then you can pay a generic to give it +1/+0, or a generic to give it -1/-0. And if you're a modern Magic player, something you gotta know about this card, it doesn't look that exciting, but this existed during the damage on the stack era, which allowed you to do a bunch of shenanigans with the pumping that you could like attack with this and pump it high power and deal damage to something. And then with the damage on the stack, pump its toughness so it survived. There's a bunch of like shenanigans you could do in its era that you can't do today. But what do you think about Morphling? Would this see any play if it was printed into standard today, Krim, you think? Like, is it close?
If damage was still on the stack, this and an Exalted Angel, those cards would still be so good. I think this card is pretty iconic, though.
This is
like the big one. And I think this might sit around a B. I think you have it right at a B. I don't know how good it... Actually, no. This one goes to C. This one goes to C. Because there's a reason why there's something... The B slot is reserved for a power creep version of this, I think.
that I think we might get to in another few cards, actually, perhaps. We might have a modern version of Morphling coming up. What do you think, Richard? Like, how good is Morphling?
Unplayable trash, Seth.
You know,
so it gives
Shroud here.
Would you actually play it today? Like, it still gets swept, right? Like,
Shroud.
You'll see some of these more resilient-looking ones, especially the Powercraft version in Aetherling later, but, like, you land it, it's so slow to close out the game, and it gets swept up still, right? And it also gets chump blocked. I guess you can give it flying.
Flying is something.
You also need triple blue the turn you play it, right? Like, it's kind of rough. Like, I don't think you would actually... play this at all.
But
like,
Richard,
if it was a standard, you would see zero play. No?
Richard.
I think
Shroud,
right.
Better. It's better because Nowhere to Run doesn't turn that off. You think about that?
That's true. That is true.
But
upside,
you know what? Exiling itself and not coming back is also better. Because also, remember, you can exile itself and then sweep the board. Like, you know, like there's a bunch of things you could do. This is not resilient enough in a control mirror. And it's just slow, man. Like,
it's super slow.
I guess it could present a 2-turn clock if you had a ton of mana, but I don't know if you want to be investing this much mana to close out the game when you're trying to, you know, still
and
keep control of the board.
And that doesn't even really work because it's +1/-1. So the most you can pump it to is 5 power. Like, it caps at 5,
oh,
and then the next
rough.
One would kill it. So it's a 4-turn clock at its best. Like, max damage is 4
damage
turn
on
clock,
the stack, though.
I think you
damage
need to
on
damage
the stack,
on the stack.
Where do you put this?
You still don't. What's that going to do? If they're blocking
you don't
this,
think
like,
so?
That's the game you want to be playing? Like, you spend 5 mana to remove one of their creatures? Like, what?
Even
you get
even
it
with
flying, though.
I think even
but
with
the damage
on
the stack doesn't matter at that point, then, right?
But in the air, it could matter.
Oh, I'm sorry. They're three. They're Sarah Angel. You can get them. You can get them if they're playing Sarah Angel.
It would be better with damage on the stack, but I think it would still not really see play. So
yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe C is generous.
C
maybe
is
D.
C.
Oh,
C.
Man. The internet's going to roast us alive. I think it's better than Sarah Angel. It's better than Sarah Angel.
What do you think, Richard? Bottom of C or top of D? Or don't you care?
Okay, fine. Put it ahead of Sarah Angel. I'd play Sarah Angel in a mid-range deck for fun. I love a Morphling.
Oh, what? Wait, hold on. Seth, what do you think? You would choose Sarah Angel over Morphling?
I would put Morphling ahead of it, personally. I would, okay, I would put
so
Morphling ahead of Sarah Angel.
That's 2-1.
All right,
that's
all right. Well, leave it in the
Shapeshifter is not relevant, right? Shapeshifter is not changeling, right?
It is not changeling, no. It is not a creature type. Yeah. All right, let's move on to another iconic early 2000s finisher. The Teeth, Dr. Tooth. Whoops, we have Psychotog. So with 3 mana, 1/2, you can discard a card from your hand to give it +1/+1 until end of turn, or you can exile 2 cards from your graveyard to give it +1/+1 until end of turn. So this is a lot of play in an upheaval deck where you just kind of like counter everything, eventually upheaval to get a bunch of cards in the graveyard, one shot with Psychotog. I feel like this one... So it looks bad compared to Psychic Frog, which was kind of the updated, like, power-crept version of this in Modern Horizons. But I think this card might still be okay. I think out of all the cards we've talked about so far, I think this would be the best if you put it into, like, modern standard, current standard. But what do you guys think?
As I was learning how to play standard, I think one of the funniest things was how long I would spend on Fact or Fiction, right? Like, choosing the pile for the Psychotog player, but it did not matter. Like, because at the end of the day, it was all just getting binned. But I think this card, man, this card is so sick, though.
It is cool.
I think this is probably a C. I'm sorry, dude. I think this might still be a C.
It's so sick. Straight to C.
It's so sick.
What do you think, Richard? Are we
rating on art? What are we rating on here?
I mean, the art's cool.
3 mana, 1/2. Does that see play? I mean, how did you fill the yard? How can you fill the yard today? What can you even do with this?
So today it would be insane with like Monument to Endurance, Cool But Rude, any of those kind of payoffs. That's just like you can repeatedly discard. So I think it'd be good with those type of shenanigans. Back then it was Madness shenanigans. You would use it to discard like Madness counter spells and so forth, Circular Logic, and then counter like shenanigans like that is what people did with it back in 2002 or whatever.
Yeah, I think you would play it as part of some kind of combo deck. I don't think you would play it as control, right? Like, you kind of need to build around it. And then, like, that makes it even worse than D, because, like, now you got to take up your actual control slots to put in, like, a helper for your finisher. So I don't think this is very good. I mean, probably C or D, but
as a control
it could
finisher.
C play in the right shells, right? Like in its own, it'd be its own archetype. It's a Psychotog deck, right? Not here's my generic control finisher. The metagame looks like this. Let me put in Psychotog, right? Like I don't think you would ever come up with that conclusion.
That's true. I think that's true. It would have uses in 2026 standard, but it probably wouldn't show up in a control deck. What do you think, Krim? You're the control player. You wouldn't play this as your control finisher today, right?
100% no. I would not play this. This is the actively going against everything I want to do. And it's clunky. It doesn't even like
everyone was playing mill. If everyone was playing mill and you're like, okay, hold on.
Yeah. Oh, I make it really big. Yeah. So are we going D tier again? Is this another? Are we just putting all the iconic?
Is anything going into the top tiers?
No. I think Psychotog would be at least, okay, maybe not a control finisher, but at least a decent enough card where I think this could be above Black Vice. Come on, this is top of C. Okay. Top of C.
I can get behind top of C.
So far we've got, oh no, we've almost gone chronological in this thing, except Black Vice is in a different position.
Yeah, we might have to change this to We Trash Magic's Most Iconic Control Finishers. That might be the new title of this podcast.
Are any of these cards playable? What have players been doing
the
this
next
whole
one.
Time?
What have
you all been doing for 30 years? Next up, we got another classic, Decree of Justice. So Decree of Justice, a huge amount of mana. 4 and XX to make XXX white angels with flying.
Never cast.
But that's not the mode you usually choose. The powerful mode is you can cycle it for 3 mana. And when you cycle it, you can pay X mana and make X11 white soldiers. So essentially 3 and X to make that many 11 white soldiers at instant speed and uncounterably relevant in a control mirror since you're cycling. What do you guys think of this
stifle
one?
Stifle was prominent back then.
Yeah, you can get stifled. That's true. But you can't get counterspelled or mana drained.
This is definitely around the time when I was getting real into the thick of my standard Sweat Lord years and getting better at the game. And this one's super solid. I Shark Typhoon, whatever, that's like the power creep version of this card, right? I think this card is still playable by this, like, you know, in 2026 even. I would love to cycle and make some bodies, right? Drawing a card, spawning some bodies at the end step. You didn't really need to win with any one card. You just needed to control the board down and beat people down with 1/1s. And this is exactly that. Yeah, maybe the cost is a bit pricey compared to the current year, but I think you could still play this.
Yeah, and I think there's some upside compared to Shark Typhoon, where, like, Shark Typhoon makes one really big thing, but that means one removal spell takes it down. This makes a whole bunch of little things, so it's better against, you know, targeted removal spells. What do you think, Richard? Yeah. I saw you grimacing over there. Do you not agree?
Let's get you guys to bed, Grandpa. I was like, okay, what? Like, you're going to win with 1/1s in 2026? There's no way this sees any amount of play. What are you going to do with, like, 3 1/1s?
No, like, right? 5 1/1s. You got to give us some credit.
Okay, what are you going to do with 5 1/1s? Like, okay, Richard. Absolutely nothing.
No. Okay.
This doesn't even finish the job. What happens when you say control finisher to your list, but it doesn't finish the job? Where do we put it?
But it would. Would this not? Okay, Jeskai Control would play the hell out of this, right? With enough burn and whatnot, end of turn, just getting in with like 4 or 5 bodies, that's usually more than enough for lethal, unless you randomly play like Aetherize or something in current standard. Blue-white would play this too. I think this is still really good.
No, okay. So we've had power. So I don't know why Shark Typhoon is not here. I think Shark Typhoon's an S or A. Like, it's up there as one of the best of all time. Because it cycles, is more efficient, but it is your real finisher, right? Like, against certain decks, late game, you slap it down. Now you're making, like, 8 million sharks. Like, you're not losing.
Oh.
But there's also stuff like...
I don't know
like
about
Sen
that.
Zenith. If you're just going to sit here and just pump out tokens for the sake of making tokens, I'm at the cost of one card, which Decree gives you a cycle, you can do the same thing. I guess it's not counterable. Right, but like again, this is I don't know. This is not old man magic. You're not gonna get there with like 1/1s hitting for like 5 turns.
No,
right? Like, we're not gonna do that, right?
No. Shark Typhoon goes tall. This goes wide. I think this might actually be better because in the current state of standard, we have such good removal.
And I think we used to make fun of people for hard casting Shark Typhoon. Like, yeah, that's the mode. They were like, you're hard casting that for 6 mana?
No, that's how you pack it up. You know, it's over. Like, oh, you resolve that? It's done, right? Like, I'm going home, right?
Maybe way back when Shark Typhoon was legal in standard, sure, but in the current year, I don't think you ever actually hard cast Shark Typhoon. You only do it for the meme. I think it's almost always incorrect to hard cast Shark Typhoon.
I don't think this has to be S tier or A tier, but I feel pretty strongly that this is
a B.
Any of the 5 cards that we talked about so far, if we put in standard today, I think this would see the most play. So I think it should be the top of what we've talked
about. Are you valuing the uncounterability? That's the only upside this card has, right? Because you cycle, it's not counterable. I can list you like 20 cards that more efficiently make tokens for you if you just wanted some tokens. You know, like
3x draw a card.
Like,
make
secure
that many
the waste. Like, is that the greatest control finisher ever then? It's like actually more efficient
that's
than this.
Super counterable.
Right?
But isn't this arguably as good as secure the waste? Like,
it's better.
You're paying more mana, but you get to draw a card, so you're not going down a card. You're making slightly less tokens. I think that if they were both in the format, I'd probably play Decree over secure the waste personally.
Yeah, 100%. I would still play Decree.
B tier?
Okay, I gotta see you guys play
B.
this.
It's B.
All
it's
right,
a
I
B.
give you guys the B, but this seems like unplayable. We have so many of these cards. Like every other standard set, there is a new one of these. And how many of these have popped up in the history of Magic as your control finisher? Right?
I can just
get an EDH tokens deck and I can show you like 800 versions of this card, right?
It's worth pointing out, we're talking about the tokens, but like Shark Typhoon, if you do need a bunch of big bodies and you have a ton of mana in the late game, you can cast it for like 8 or 10 and make a few big angels. Like, that's not doesn't happen often, but it is a thing you can do. So
I think that's never going to happen, but yeah, don't worry about you are just cycling this.
All right, let's leave it in B because we gotta get to more cards, and I gotta see what Krim says about this card because we might have some fireworks on this one. We're going to late 2000s now, 2009 maybe, for some Cruel Ultimatum action. Cruel Ultimatum. It is Grixis mana. Double blue, triple black, double red, sorcery. Target opponent sacks a creature, discards three cards, and loses five life. You return a creature from your graveyard to your hand, draw three cards, and gain five life. So a ton of mana, a ton of modes. Very iconic from Five Color Control during its era in Standard. Krim, I know you're a big Cruel Ultimatum fan. What do you think about this one?
Okay. All right. Tell me that this is not still heat in the current Standard, dude. I pushed this in Modern. Dude, okay, when I was playing Tasigur, Grixis Tasigur Delve, this card is still heat, dude. There's no world where this card is not heat. Okay, hear me out. You get back your Deceit.
There's
you get
no
back.
Way.
Oh my, no. Okay, I know seven mana sounds wild, right? Okay, maybe it being sorcery makes it not the house it once was, but I would still play this. If I resolve this, I would win. There's no world where I am not winning if I resolve this.
I agree. If you resolve this, you win, but will you? I mean, it is like a million for one. Like, you draw three, they discard three, you get a creature back. It's like a seven or eight or some huge number for one. So I think you
gain
would,
life. They
like,
lose
don't you
life.
Probably
out and went plus five life.
Like,
you can still definitely die. No.
It's not just plus five life. Get out of here with that. Don't you disrespect Cruel Ultimatum.
Richard might not be completely wrong. Like, could you imagine playing this against a Badger Mole deck where they just have all these dorky Earthbend lands and you're like, haha, sack a creature, take five. And they're like, sure, untap, die.
They're like, untap, Hazoret, pump, you're dead. Like anything can happen here. Like, it doesn't even stabilize, right? Like, that's assuming you cast it. Right,
but
we're talking about
like
countering. You need seven mana plus whatever the heck you need to protect the spell or yourself as this comes down. Like, this is I take my chance with a Sierra Angel. Like, at least I can play
This pitches
the force of will. That's what it does. It pitches.
Jeskai Revelation, yes, is instant speed, but in a world where Jeskai Revelation is juicy, this is juicy. There's no world. I think this card would still get some play.
I think it would just because you would play it all the time.
I guess, at least guaranteed by me.
So I think there would be some play by definition, yeah. I mean, I think this card... We'll go back to Alara and they'll power creep it, and then it'll be like an instant or something and deal 10 damage or something. Like, we've seen what makes an ultimatum good these days, and it's pretty much like win the game right now, like a merchant ultimatum. Like, I will get a combo and you just immediately die. So I have a hard time imagining this would actually be good enough for current Standard, but I don't think it's like horrible. Like, if you can resolve it, it's still a lot of value. It's just seven mana in sorcery speed, which is kind of a big ask. I would probably put it like C tier.
No, I would play Stock Up over this at any point in the game. Richard, would you want a Cruel Ultimatum in hand or a Stock Up? I'm like, give me the Stock Up. Like, what are three useless cards to me? Just let me choose two for three mana. I can actually cast it.
I might agree with that, actually.
This is a C. There's no world. Okay, I'll admit that, yes, I'm high on my own supply here, but, like, there's no world where I am putting this lower than Black Vice.
I was thinking, like, if you Omniscience, you can play this, but Omniscience deck would never play this because they need, like, more efficient crap, and a Stock Up would do, like, way better once you have your Omniscience down anyway.
In
Omniscience decks,
it's good in Omniscience.
But Sandry doesn't work. There's no colorless pip. You can't even guarantee this thing's not countered.
Yeah.
And then people will just play cards
Village.
That bounce. Right?
Mistrise Village, Richard, guaranteed resolve.
All right.
This card is still gas. I stand by it.
Let's stick it, nostalgia factor, from the
Chapin moment, you know. Nassif.
Yeah.
It was Nassif, right?
Yeah, the
lay out the
shot.
Mana. Yeah, called shot. We can't do that anymore because it's just like I lay out my one blue. What is it? I don't know.
Oh, that was, he even said it. Oh, I'm just setting up my Cruel Ultimatum mana and then top deck it. Oh, it's so good. Well, let's move on to one of the most iconic control finishers in all of Magic. We have entered the Planeswalker era with Jace the Mind Sculptor. Four mana Planeswalker, three loyalty, four abilities. You can plus two to look at the top card of player's library, put it on the bottom if you want to. Zero, brainstorm, negative one, bounce a creature, and then negative 12, exhale all the cards from a player's library, and the player shuffles their hand into their library. So pretty much ends the game with extra steps. Jace, I think, is one of the most interesting ones. So when this card came out, It broke Standard, best card in Legacy, banned in Modern, but then a decade later, they unbanned it in Modern, doesn't really see play, and I found myself asking, would Jace be okay for Standard in 2026? And I actually think if Jace was put into Standard today, I think it would see play, but I don't think it would be bannably good. Like, I think you actually could realistically print Jace into Standard today, but what do you guys think about the best Planeswalker of all time when it came out?
I played this guy to the last month before he was prematurely banned. He was almost ready to ride off into the sunset. I am a Jace fanboy, and I always will be. This card is probably barely... I would maybe play this over Cruel Ultimatum.
Ooh, wow. That's for Grim, that is the highest praise. That is the highest praise Grim can give a Magic card, yeah.
I still think Decree of Justice might be better than this card.
Whoa, interesting. What do you think, Richard? How good would this be today?
Decree is better than Jace, because Jace is absolute trash now.
No.
I was a Jace fanboy, remember?
Trash.
When we put this into Modern, I'm like, oh my goodness, guys. Why did you unban Jace the Mind Sculptor in Modern? It proceeded to do absolutely zero zilch. And I got my butt handed to me. Handed to me from VV Cauldron with Jace. And Jace was a 4-mana into the Flood Maw at sorcery speed.
Yeah.
Like every game. Like I would rather have literally anything else. So Jace was from a time where if you resolved a Planeswalker, it was untouchable. Okay, so you resolved it. You would draw every turn.
Jace.
You were good to go, right? You know, aside from Legendary Rule and like weird outside cases. Nowadays, it dies to literally everything, right? You know, black has the like just straight up removal. All of the burn will most likely get to Jace, right? Like a lot of the red burn can go 5+ easily if you zeroed or minused or whatever. Like he will die immediately. And then also into the Flood Maw. Right, it also just dies. So to me, this is like Sarah Angel or something, right? It's kind of like a 4-mana dude.
It's better than that.
It comes down and you lose mana. So yes, I know there's a lot of text, but it would not see any play today, right?
Someone will try.
They'll squeak it in, but it's not going to be like a powerhouse card like it used to be because
it's not
an untouchable type, right? It doesn't have the built-in. Yeah. Hexproof or whatever, and you're bouncing like 1-mana creatures, 2-mana creatures. No one plays any like real creatures anymore. It's not like you're bouncing a 5-drop, and if it was a 5-drop, it probably has like 6 ETBs as it's coming back down. So the removal's not good. The brainstorm needs help in Standard, right? It's not even like a brainstorm fetch.
You don't have many shuffle.
Yeah,
you don't have any
shuffle. Unless you're playing green.
Squadron.
But I never had the time to do any of that, right? Like, you're playing a 4-mana do nothing. You're under the gun. You're not dealing with the board. Like, it's too slow, and everyone's just playing, like, 1-3 drops nowadays. Like, imagine they go Badrimal Cub, and your hand is Jace, and you're like, yeah.
It feels real
you
bad.
Have, like, 8,000 power on board. Let me brainstorm, right? Like...
Okay, so here's what I would say. The other downside that we didn't talk about is there's a lot of haste today, and we saw when Jace was in Standard that Bloodbraid Elf
Reckless
was kind of the nemesis of Jace, right? You just haste it in, you kill it. Between Earthbending and Tursa Light Shatters, and there's a lot of hasty stuff going on. So I think that would make it weaker. But I do think if Jace existed in Standard now, I would expect it to at least see route level of play. I don't think it's a 4 of main deck card anymore, but I think you'd at least see people playing this in their
Ral's
sideboard, bring it in for
stronger.
The right matchups. You think Ral's
no
actually...
No one under 30
no.
would be playing Jace, but all the boomers
I got bad news for you. I am the demographic, right, that will play this. And I think
they're
Ral
crack
is better.
Their PSA 10 Jaces. They're like, it's time.
Yeah.
Come back.
This is, if you are from our generation of Magic players, I think Jace is like our Black Lotus. Like, I think this is the most iconic card made in the era I've been playing Magic. Like, I think of it in the same way.
Seth, I try not to give advice on this podcast. People don't like advice. But if Jace is like your cherished memory, never meet your heroes. Do not bring Jace back into Standard. I had to do it for content, and my view of Jace has been ruined. Right? He is absolute doo-doo. Don't do it. Save your memories. You know, look into your scrapbook. Remember those, like, Pro Tour trophies? Don't play Jace today. All your ideals will be shattered.
Can we at least put him in B? Can we at least put him in?
I think he's still a B.
Please,
for
but
being
bottom.
The face of Magic the Gathering, yeah, you get a B.
You get a okay. B for Black Lotus tier.
You're on the tail
B
end
for
of
participation.
B. Yes, sure. I'll give it that.
Well, speaking of Planeswalker finishers, we got what was Jace's buddy back in the Callblade era.
Oh, this was good.
I don't even know why he's on
Jura.
Here.
Gideon Jura. 5-mana Planeswalker. 6 loyalty, +2. During target opponent's next turn, all their creatures must attack Gideon Jura, Fable. -2, destroy a tap creature. 0, it becomes a 6/6 human soldier creature until end of turn. And prevent all damage that would be dealt to it. So Gideon Jura, kind of like a weird fog and then a big body. This card sucks though, right? It's 5-mana. Like this card.
It's high to Doomblade still.
This is like actually like unplayable. Like
I don't know. You could fizzle like a big Aboroid attack. Play this, do the fog. They have to attack it.
So,
then wrath the next turn.
5-mana fog.
Inshield. It's Inshield and Sandered.
Nah, dude. This is not getting played. Oh. I think this is like at the top of D.
Oh, man. And I love D.
He was so good
love
back
Gideon.
Then, though, right? When you couldn't kill Planeswalkers, he would eat like 3 damage and then murder something. And then he was a finisher, but you had to be careful.
Red would
even
also
back
just
then,
scoop.
You could Doomblade him.
Yeah, you could Doomblade
him. You wait until you run him out of resources, right? And then you can fire it up and close out the game in like 3 attacks probably once you get him out of cards. But it was very good in its era. I don't know how much of that was it existed alongside like Jace and like the other cards in the deck. Like, I feel like if you had to choose one, it would be
Jace,
right?
That was part of the package,
right?
He saved Jace.
Part of the package.
He was Jace's bodyguard, right? Like, he protected the other Planeswalkers to finish the job.
Bloodbraid just didn't care anyway. But the main thing here is, I think with Gideon, I think another thing here is, like, this card is a lot like Grave Titan. Grave Titan was so good because it just didn't get got by all the removal because it didn't die to Doomblade, right? So it was so solid back then. Yeah, that was why Gideon is good. Nowadays, I don't think that's put him on the chopping block.
It is a very good point that Planeswalker removal started like 2013, 2014. So right after these cards had their heyday
Heroes
standard,
Downfall.
Then Wizards, Dreadbore, Heroes Downfall. Those were the cards that like changed everything. And then I think it was actually in reaction to these cards being so good and bannable in standard that Wizards was like, oh, maybe we should actually print removal spells for Planeswalkers. So
It was the burn, right? Because before you're like, oh, if I play Planeswalker against Red, they're dead. Now they're like, ha, 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 like I could do like 8 with my burn spell for like 2 mana, right? And it's just like insta dies. Yeah. And if you make the toughness too high, like no one can attack through it, like Oko, right? So why is Oko not here? Oko doesn't count. Okay, but like
he's not a control finisher.
He wasn't really a control.
That's because he was so efficient. Like you didn't even think of the deck as control.
Right? Like, I guess oh, that's true.
Right? Like I'm dead already.
No. Oko is not a control finisher. Get out of here with that.
Okay. Let's leave it in D. If you want efficiency. Do I have a card for you? How about milling 3 cards for 3 mana? Kind of 4 mana, actually, because you got to tap it. Nephalia Drownyard, part of one of the most annoying control decks to ever exist. A deck that didn't even have the courtesy to actually kill you. Nephalia Drownyard, it's a land. It makes colorless. You can pay to mirror mana. 1, a blue, and a black. Tap it to make target player mill 3 cards. Krim. Richard, I know you guys love this card.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that, Seth? That was all of our knees and backs popping as we stood up to give this a hell yeah, brother. This card is an S.
We found it, the S tier. We found the S tier control finisher.
I would still play this. I would still play this now. We kind of have it in Restless Reef, but Restless Reef is annoying because, 1, it gets removed. 2, it comes into play tapped. I would still play this right now.
This would legitimately be great in the Excruciator. Well, okay. It's annoying with Excruciator because casting
is
kind of an issue. So if you get around that issue, like it would be very good in that deck, right? If you could make the mana work.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I still think this land is solid, right? Especially in current standard. Right? Like not making it so that your mill plan when you do the demon strategy, like, you know, you don't have to care about like if they have removal anymore. I'm just going to do this. Over and over and over, and you can only stifle it so many times. I think this card is still solid in current standard.
What do you think, Richard?
Okay, so it's free.
No, Richard,
okay?
don't
it's,
do
it's
this.
It's literally free, right? This is like the MDFC of its time, right? It's an untapped land and it's your finisher. So you don't, you get like an extra slot in your deck or four slots to like do the thing. However, I don't know that you can realistically win with this in 2026. Like, can you win milling three or six at a time? Because the problem is, you can't just go forever against most decks, right? They like Quantum Riddler, you know, Winter Night Stories, whatever. They like, you slip once, they have like eight cards back in hand and you're dead, right? So we might need a more proactive card. And also you're milling like actual like Flashback, Harmonize, etc. cards, right? But like, you might need a proactive card in 2026, right? I don't know that we can journal around and win like this anymore, but it's free though. Like, it literally is free, right? Like, it just goes into your mana base. As long as there are dual lands in standard, this can come in, right? Like, your mana will be good enough that you can just play this. So this has still got to be like one of our best ones, right? Like S or A. But I don't know how many games it'll actually finish. Because can you imagine going long against like Cauldron? You're like, no, right? You can't, right? Like you gotta stop them fast enough and then try to finish the game before they recover, because they will draw just as much cards as you if you keep going on, right?
But in the current standard, right, and like whatnot, you can win against blue white. You can win against Jeskai just by sitting there. Because they're sitting there doing nothing just as like you are.
This is the control mirror breaker, right? Like, you have four more
slots. And Excruciator.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Excruciator.
Be hilariously good against Excruciator, too. Like, that might actually be the tech to try to stop the Excruciator decks, which is kind of hilarious, actually. I actually think this might be the most playable card that we've talked about. I don't think I'm putting it in S tier. That seems a little aggro. I'll leave it an A, though.
What? It costs you nothing against aggro. Like,
there is literally a cost to playing a colorless land.
It's actually really good against aggro because instead of drawing your Morphling or some trash, you're drawing like a Doomblade to kill aggro, right? So it's even better against aggro. You're not wasting slots.
That's true. Although there is a cost of having some cost having a colorless land, especially in like the Excruciator deck. It would be a bit of a cost, but
come on.
You guys really want to
S tier?
I've won many, right? What's better than this in this list?
I think there's one card that's still a lot better. Like, probably better than this.
I will. I don't think it's S, but I'll go with it. If you guys want an S,
we'll put it
in S.
It doesn't even count as a card, Seth. It's like an MDFC. It just comes from your mana base. It doesn't even count.
All right.
It's an MDFC.
S tier. We'll leave it in S tier. Let's move Untapped MDFC. Let's move on to one of my personal favorite control cards. Sphinx's Revelation from the mid-2010s. Double blue and X. A double blue
you
white
You could play
and X.
The two cards we just talked about together in an S for control shell, by the way.
Indeed.
I may have done
that. We used to do that. So double blue, white, and X. Instant speed, you gain X life and draw X cards. So mass card draw, plus you gain a bit of life. Back in its day, this card was so good in control. Magic was a little slower then. Being able to cast this X3 or X4, gain some cards, gain some life, so aggro can't kill you on the backswing. Maybe find another revelation to cast a bigger one the next turn, and then the second one is when I scoop. Like, the first rev, you can kind of convince yourself that, like, you know, maybe they drew a bunch of lands and I can get through it. The second rev, though, it's done. There's no coming back. But it's too slow for today, right? Or is it?
It is like unplayable by today's standard. I love this card more than anything, and I
do
too. I think this card is like just marginally. I think it's somewhere in the C's. Maybe not unplayable like Gideon and Sarah Angel down there, but
I think this card's like a C. We have Decree of whatever the heck sitting there, which is 3X, make X 1
bodies,
ones. And then you have Sphinx's
Rev. Doesn't end the game.
That gains life, draws cards at the same rate, and we're like, 1-1 is better than cards in my control deck? Like,
does
what?
Not end the game. Also, on top of that,
I think many people have scooped
countered.
To resolve Rev. I think it ends it more efficiently. You don't even have to take another game action of going to combat.
Oh, I've scooped to resolve Revs, the second one, many times. So, yeah, that does happen. I mean, I think the thing is, we have stock up, right? In console to start charts, like, you can just draw two cards for 3 mana and get them out of your top 5, so you get some
cards
selection.
That you want.
by the time you're like, when you're casting stock up, this is doing nothing. So you really got to get to like 5, 6, 7 mana for this to really be worth casting. Even at 5, like 5 mana draw 2 gain 2, that's not really a constructed playable card. So it's really got to be 6 or 7 mana. So I think it's just too much mana for me to think it's very good these days.
I would play Cruel Ultimatum over this. I'm just saying, I would play Cruel Ultimatum over this.
I know you would, Grim. I know you would. You'd be wrong. I would. I believe you.
No. You don't. Okay. You come on. This is behind Cruel Ultimatum.
What? That's gotta be the most playable non-Drown Yard card, right?
Wow, Richard really likes this one.
No, Decree is better. Again, Decree ends the game, Richard.
No way you would play Decree over Sphinx's Rev.
I would. Yeah.
So I'm like, Grim, you want 2 1/1s or you want 2 cards and a life? Or 2 life.
Brother, where...
Right? Or you think I'm only making 2 1/1s? You want 5 1/1s or 5 cards, 5 life. And you're like, yo, I'm going to take the 1/1s every day.
3 1/1s and a card draw, yes.
Maybe it could still see play, could it?
No, I don't see it. The vision is not there for me. This is way too clunky.
We're like, is it better than stock up? Okay, like aside from Nefalia Drown Yard, I'd rather have stock up in my hand than anything on this list, possibly the whole list, right? Yeah, but maybe. What if you played it in conjunction with, what if you stocked up into a ref, right?
That's like, just so much nothing. Your deck is loaded with nothing.
That is true.
If you make enough mana, it's still like, it draws a bunch of cards.
What if you Badger Bowl Cub into Sphinx's Rev?
Guys,
are we cooking?
Guys.
There we go. That's that, yes. I play it like an Apple game deck.
I have played Rev to the ends of the earth. I have done the win round one, and then you've won the match. Okay, I've played this deck. I love this card. You cannot play this in the current year, guys. I love this card.
Oh, wait, Krim. How about this adds to your 1-0 win strategy? If you play like a Grave Titan, you got to start attacking, and they're going to lose the game. You might have time for 3 games. But with Rev, you just Rev again and again, and you just drag that time on, baby, to go for the 1-win match win.
Throwing an Elixir Immortality so you can never mill out.
No.
Yeah,
ooh, why is Elixir Immortality not on this list, Seth?
Oh, I know, yeah, maybe we should have had Elixir on there.
That was how you won the mirror secretly, right? That's you'd sculpt the hand to line up the counter spells to counter the elixir.
Do you remember, what was it, Psychic Spiral? It was like a 5-mana instant, and it would like do the reverse, so it would like mill your opponent equal to the cards that they had in their graveyard. So when they try to mill you, you just like switch it on. Oh, it's so good. All right, where are we going?
I'm sorry, this is behind Cruel. This
bottom
is behind Cruel Ultimatum.
What?
No. It's that if behind, this is at the bottom of the B, then you're saying that Cruel Ultimatum is up in B.
What if we move Cruel Ultimatum down?
No. That is the wrong direction. Sphinx's Revelation. I would play Cruel Ultimatum over Sphinx's Rev. 100%.
Would you recommend your best friend to play Cruel Ultimatum over Sphinx? Yes. If his goal was to win the PTQ, the
100% yes.
RCQ.
If I had to choose between recommending Rev or Cruel Ultimatum, I would recommend Cruel Ultimatum.
I think it's close. I think I'd put Rev slightly ahead of it, but I think they're
the same.
Grim is the control expert. We'll put Cruel there. We'll let him take the brunt of the YouTube comments.
Yeah. Send your feedback to theasianavenger@mtgoldfish.com. Let's move on to our updated Morphling. Ooh. We talked about Morphling a while ago, but they made another one like 15 years later in Aetherling. Aetherling, not on my list, is a 6-mana shapeshifter. It's a 4/5. You can play a blue to exile it, return it to the battlefield under its owner's control to be in the next end step. You can pay a blue to make it unblockable, and then the same Aetherling ability, a generic to give it +1/-1, or generic to give it -1/+1. So still, this was not the damage on the stack era, but it was basically like a more juiced up Aetherling that became literally unblockable. It got more power, and it was basically impossible to kill if you left mana up, because you could always just flicker it out. This card was super scary. It's what, a 3-turn clock typically, so you just like do the control stuff, then you play this, and it's just like, oh, there's no killing this. I'm just gonna die in 3 turns. Would this still be good today?
This card was the sauce, right? You just put a Cavern of Souls in the sideboard to hopefully just resolve it, just to push it through. Then eventually you kind of just got cut, and then all the control decks realized that you don't need anything, and you just win with Mutavaults,
don't even need a finisher.
Yeah, you don't even need a finisher, and that was the biggest joke of them all. I think I think this card could still see some play. Actually, no, it's six mana. This is not worth it for six mana. And it's not even done because you need really seven mana because you don't just play it on six because you have to leave up lots of protection. But is it better than Morphling? Hell yeah, it is.
Oh, yes.
It's... I think this is a C, a hot top of C.
Man.
Maybe behind Cruel Ultimatum. I still think there's a world. Okay, maybe that's me, but I think there's a world where I would still cast Cruel Ultimatum.
Every time Krim says Cruel Ultimatum, I'm going to move it down one slot for
No.
What do you think, Richard? Where would you put it?
Oh, Aetherling's like one of my favorite cards. My son is named after it. Okay, here's the thing. Everything here can be answered, okay? You resolve. Okay, maybe not Rev. Okay, everything else if it resolves, you can answer. You can de-sphere the tokens. You can flood maw the Jace. Aetherling sticks. It sticks forever, right? Because you can always blink it out. It protects itself through sweepers, edicts, like whatever the heck. Like it's living. So to me, that's like the ultimate finisher. Now, you do have a land up there, the Thalia Drown Yard, which doesn't count for anything, but it still dies to Ghost Quarter. Like, what if someone plays four Ghost Quarters? You can't even win anymore.
Done.
but it's six mana.
But really, it's
today's
like seven.
Metagame was all control decks. I could see you playing Aetherling. You're like, you know, because when you play control mirrors, you just line up all the threats, all your answers. You're like, look. I have more answers than you have threats. I'm going to win. Or I have, you know, whatever, right? Now you're like, well, Aetherling cannot be answered. Like, you're going to die, right? So I get the Aetherling down. It's your job to put a clock on me so I can't Aetherling you, but you're playing Drown Yard. Good luck. You have no clock, right? So I'm going to win. So I like the unkillable aspect of it.
Yeah.
Because even with Rev, you can draw all the cards you want, but if you have, like, four threats in your deck and your opponent has four answers, you're not winning, right?
Yep.
So,
I think
but
the card's
six mana.
It
really
is,
seven mana.
It
probably
is
eight
at least.
If you want to
seven
be really
eight,
safe.
Double activation, which is realistic.
If you're a control mirror,
that.
Nobody's done anything. So that
right.
means
all the
only
removals
removal.
Rotting in people's hands. Yeah, just waiting. I mean, I still think it's reasonable. I don't think it's like great, but I think it's gotta be at least like high C, low B, I would say. I could imagine a modern control deck still playing Aetherling.
I
Plus,
would definitely,
you can make it unblockable
that,
and then like sneak a turtle into play.
Sure. Sure. It plays with sneak.
Got him.
The ROI is insanely poor. I think that it's a bottom of B if we're being extra generous. But
I think bottom of B is good.
Can we get behind the bottom
It
of
deserves
B?
To stand side by side with Jace. I don't know about Decree of Justice.
Yeah,
but Jace and Aetherling,
Decree
I think
of Justice,
stand side
do
by
not
side.
Laugh at Decree of Justice. That card is gas.
All right, let's move on. We're to our final five control finishers. And this one, I think, could still actually be good. Elspeth, Sun's Champion. So Elspeth, Sun's Champion, our second to last planeswalker on the list. Six mana, four loyalty, plus one, make 3/1/1 white soldier creature tokens, basically like a decree for six. And then -3, destroy all creatures with power 4 or greater. -7, you get an emblem. Creatures you control get +2/+2 and have flying. So Elspeth, Sun's Champion, from the peak of the planeswalker era, when we had the Justice League and a Super Friends everywhere, Wrath in the board, 3/1/1s is a lot to get through. It protects itself super well. And then eventually those 1/1s become flyers and close out the game with the ultimate. This card would still be fine, right? Is this card not still a decent planeswalker?
Yes,
I think
no,
it would
I'm
see
sorry,
more played
man.
Than Jace.
No.
More played than Jace
no,
if it was in
no,
standard.
No, no,
yes.
No, no.
I think it would.
That, okay, no. 6 mana. -4 that doesn't kill anything until it's already too late. By the time there's things that are 4 power, you're already dead. Because most of the things like Slick Shot aren't going to be 4 power when you play this.
That is true.
I don't know what you think you're going to kill with this. Right? Like
3/1/1s,
if you're playing
3/1/1s.
But you could just play the 5 mana Elspeth from Tarkir, and that essentially gives you 2 tokens and can actually kill somebody with a 0 and has removal that does actually hit things. I'm sorry. I think that this Elspeth, I love her to death, but she is at the top of C for me.
Oh, really? Richard, what about you? I got
to put her in A, but Krim does bring up some points in that people don't play big dirtles anymore. It's not like, oh, there's a bunch of 5/5s I'm going to wrap the board. It's actually just all like 1/1s, 2/1s, or they're just killing you with burner, etc. It does make 3/1/1s to clog up the ground. Like, it's still a thing.
But you already
six
have
mana.
Storm Slayer
six
already makes you two.
Yeah, six mana is a lot. That, you gotta knock off Decree. You gotta knock off Space.
No.
Like, everything,
Decree,
right? Like, we're not even making it six
Decree
mana.
Decree is not sorcery. Okay, it is, but ignore that part.
But it was so good back in the day. Mm.
It is. It was. It was so good. But, like, I promise you, in the current year, this card is stone unplayable.
I think Prim is. I think I'd rather just cast a cool ultimatum, actually,
no!
Right?
No!
I agree.
Okay.
Would you rather just resolve a cruel? I mean,
yeah,
cruel ultimatum
I would rather.
So, specifically,
so
with, seven pips.
So down with Sarah Angel? Are we saying
No.
Maybe up a Psychotog.
Sarah Angel?
Like above a Psychotog.
Yeah, maybe there.
Behind Ultimatum. I would play Ultimatum for sure.
Ultimatum's uncastable, though. You can't use any utility
land. You know you would.
I love having the power of controlling the tier list because I can do whatever I want. All right, we'll put it in the middle of the C tier, although I will say I think it's actually better than Jace, or would be better than Jace if it existed today. Let's move on to... Ooh, here we go. Dragonlord Ojutai from the Dragon Control deck era. Dragonlord Ojutai.
Yeah.
5-mana Azorius, 4/5, legendary Elder Dragon with flying. It is hexproof if it's untapped. And if you hit your opponent with it, you get to anticipate. You look at the top three cards, put one in your hand, the rest go on the bottom in any order. Card was very, very good in its era. Like, this was a big control finisher. There was a bunch of support for Dragon Control. We did get Zergo and Ojutai, which was sort of similar a couple years ago, and it saw like a little play. It was never like a staple, but it did see some amount of play. Do you think original Ojutai would still see play, Grim?
I mean, second Ojutai, not this one, right? Like, the original is not this one.
This one. Would this Ojutai see play?
I think this Ojutai is... I do like the hexproof. It's nice, but this is 5-mana, and it loses the hexproof once it attacks.
You gotta give it vigilance.
But that's okay.
Yeah, no, you gotta give it, sure.
You counterspell. Like, you counter whatever they're doing to remove it.
And you get to draw cards.
But that was
it
refills your hand. Not only refills your hand, but it's an anticipate, right? You get to dig. Yeah. It's like half of a stock up for free every turn, right?
You still have Silumgar's whatever the 2-mana counter spell, Silumgar Scorn, in the Dragon Hail thingamabobber, where essentially making them pay 4 is almost a hard counter always. So you do have that, but I think this is a little too clunky, right? This is.
I think it might be a little too clunky, but compared to like the other finishers we've been talking about, I actually think this has got to be one of the better ones,
right? Yeah, like, it's got to be somewhere in there, right?
You think it's above? Like, okay,
I think it's
I would
above.
Say you only get
got
by a sweeper or an edict. You can play around edicts by putting a body down, and if you know they have sweepers, you just hold. But then essentially, it's hexproof, and then when you're ready to go, you swing, you counter their removal, and then now you're drawing every turn. It's actually like 2026 design back in whatever
the heck this era was. It's got the snowball.
It's
got the snowball.
It snowballs, right? Like, you get one Ojutai swinging, they can scoop it up, right? Like, they're not getting anywhere at this point, right?
Yeah. Okay, I could see that. But at A? I mean, I could see it at top of B.
Okay.
What else is going to go in A then, if not?
I think there's two cards that can go in A.
Do I have a card? Do I have a card for you, Richard? Let's move on to another Azorius 5-mana control finisher. And this one, I think, has to still be good. Or either that or I just got PTSD
straight
because of playing against this card for
Don't
2 years. My goodness.
Seth, straight to the top.
Teferi, Hero of Dominaria. 5-mana, 4 loyalty, +1 draw a card to be in your end step. You can untap 2 lands. -3, put a non-land permanent in its owner's library, 3rd from the top. -8, you get an emblem. Whenever you draw a card, exile target permanent in opponent controls. Man, that was a brutal era of a control deck. Dominaria era, I hated this card. Oh, did I hate that? With a passion, I still hate this card. It is so brutal. The coming down and untapping 2 lands lets you leave up your counter spells or your removal spells. The ultimate's
infinitely
attainable.
Tuck yourself.
The tucking, yes, you can tuck the Teferi so you'll never mill out. This card would still be great, right? Is this not still like a playable control finisher?
I think this is an S. I'm sorry, this is an S.
Ooh.
Right? Like, you kidding me?
I think it's A or S. I think it's A or S.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I get to hold up No More Lies? Oh, baby.
Okay.
Yeah,
here's my question. It's obviously very powerful. Does Teferi see play in either modern or Legacy?
It did, but it no longer does, I think is the correct answer.
If he doesn't see play, then I don't think he's playable in Standard. Like, he is still
what?
A 5 drop.
No,
right?
No.
Can you resolve a 5 drop?
Okay, but it's if it were a 5 drop that didn't untap, you know, 2 mana, then sure,
the
maybe we can discuss.
Huge.
But the untap here is ginormous, dude. This is
really
good.
But it's also 5 mana, right? Like, why don't we play it in Legacy? Like, because we're so efficient, we don't...
Legacy
there,
is still
like, is that not standard today, kind of, right?
No, no. Okay,
no?
We meme about it, we exaggerate, but in reality, let's not lie here, okay? Legacy is significantly faster.
No, I would obviously. Look at some,
but I would look at something closer like Pioneer, right? I know, that dead format.
Does he see playing Pioneer?
Like, yeah.
It does see play.
Okay.
Pioneer, Blue-White Control, it still see is play, one of the main finishers. And I do see, like, a... couple modern lists where they play, like, there's a Miracles list that 5-0'd recently or something that's playing Teferi. Okay. So Fringe Modern play at this point. And so it was a staple.
If Fringe Modern play has got to be good enough for Standard, right?
It's got to.
Yeah.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
Because you still get Flood Mod or whatever, right? Like, they can still get rid of this. So it's not like the slam dunk it used to be. But the fact that you draw, and more importantly, you get 2 mana to interact with whatever they want to do, right? And then it's a big loyalty planeswalker, and it puts a clock. Because once you emblem, the game is over.
Oh, it's over. Yeah, there's no...
But, like, is the game over because they Badger Bowl come to, like, killed you? You're holding 5 drops in hand, right? Like, that's my biggest concern here.
It actually seems kind of absurd with Badger Mole Cub. Untapping the Earthbent lands that make 2, you can do some stuff. I could see like a Bant control deck with both of those being really good.
I think this is still an S. This is an S.
Oh, you know what? I'll put it in S too.
We'll put it really,
this is still an S.
Can I put it up in front of Nephalia? It seems so weird to have Nephalia being the number one card. Or what do you guys
it's
think?
A
you really
free card.
All right.
Doesn't even count as
a hater, dude. Wow. I could tell who got milled by Nephalia the most.
How many times have you been milled by Nephalia?
Me.
Seth?
Oh my god, so many times. That was like a big thing back during like it's time. Yeah. All right. Final 2 cards. So this is our most modern cards. I feel like Control's gotten a lot worse. I feel like the peak of Control was like the 2010s with like Planeswalkers first being a thing and the Rev Control decks and Cruel, like that decade, like from late 2000s to like late 2010s. I think that was a peak, but then Control got worse. But we did have a bannable Control deck in the Is It Elrond's Epiphany deck, with Elrond's Epiphany being the finisher. So Elrond's Epiphany is a 7 mana extra turn spell, but you can foretell it, so you can exile it, and then cast it for 6 mana, and you create 2 1/1 blue bird creature tokens, and you get an extra turn, and then you gotta exile Elrond's Epiphany. So this was good not that long ago, to the point where it ended up getting cards banned in Standard. Wizards has been very careful with extra turn spells since. I feel like this card would be absolutely busted if it existed today. Like, maybe not as a Control finisher, but if this existed, people would definitely Badger Mole into this. Like, Badger Mole into this. Your Boroid, untap,
extra
turn, win.
Can we go 1 second without saying Badger Mole Cub? Is Badger Mole Cub the greatest Control finisher we've ever seen?
Actually, Badger Mole Cub might be an S-tier Control finisher.
But Badger Mole Cub
is... It's like Commander, right? You're like, oh, it's an 8 drop? Okay, Badger Mole Cub. Does it work? Yes. Okay, here we go.
Badger Mole Cub is why Control players have jobs in the current year. I'm sorry. Like, this is why Control decks exist. And so, I think this card's an A. Believe it or not, not an S. Still just an A.
That actually seems fine to me. Like, it was
A
very powerful.
A for Elrond.
Can we resolve it, though?
I think so.
Not only do you need to resolve it, You need a way to dig for the next one, right? Because the idea is you start chaining them and then you just win, right? If you just do one, you might not have made much progress, right? So you kind of got to chain them together and win. Can we actually make it to 6 mana and resolve this peacefully?
I think you could.
I think we could.
I do think the only time you'll feel bad about it is if you like foretell it and somebody just plays an Aven Interrupter. Right, so that means you have to pay an additional like 2 more or something like that.
Yeah,
okay,
that
maybe
would be kind of rough.
But outside of that situation, I mean, I think you could still play this and pay for it fairly too, because you can actually get the fact that blue white control exists and is doing well, and Jeskai control exists currently, means that you can get to six mana. It's not this comical Christmas land that we're all making it out to be, right?
Like, I mean, you can, if you play a Badrimal Cub deck, but what if you're playing against a deck or something?
Jeskai Revelation decks in Standard that, like, cast Jeskai Revelation or, like, Doomsday's six mana with six black pips. So I think a control deck can actually keep control long enough to get to it.
I haven't once... In the last, I'm clean. I'm off the juice. I haven't used a Badger Mole Cub. Like, I haven't done any Badger Mole Cub deck stuff in like months. I'm good. I'm playing honest Magic, Richard. I think this card still could
this
still
has
work.
To be the best one, then, right? Because once you cast and resolve it, you should win, right? You start like you're chaining them together. Like, it's actually like an insta kill. Like, a lot of these other cards, like, you resolve it, maybe you stabilize, maybe you don't, but your opponent gets a turn, they might kill you, but this is, your opponent doesn't even take a turn, right? You're just going to start chaining these bad boys together and then end the game, right?
I mean, the problem is these aren't free like Nefalia. Teferi is versatile. This is just going to clunk your hand up any turn prior.
This doesn't stabilize you in any way. Well, I mean, it stabilizes in the sense that you just win the game.
The birds might help, but like... But, like, you know, be real, right? Like I think that just winning the game, sure, but, like, the real finisher here also in any kind of control deck is something that's equally versatile as it is ending the game. Yeah. So Teferi is that. Teferi's cheaper. Teferi can be more than just this extra turn spell. Because, you know, just like back then, people outruns Epiphany and then just fizzle and then concede, right?
I think I agree with Krim that I think it's very good, but I would rank it a tier below Drownyard and Teferi just because it is narrower, right? It's not as flexible. It really only does its one thing. It does do that well, and if you can change them, it can close out the game right away. But I think it's like a little bit below the Teferi, Nefalia, Drownyard.
Is it better than Dragon Lord?
Ooh. Actually, you know what? Maybe I could see an argument for putting Dragon Lord at the bottom of A. Okay. Like, I could actually see this being maybe the setup I'd go with. What do you guys think about that?
Okay.
Yeah. Can I get behind that? I can see that. The more I think about Dragon Lord, the more I like it.
We're also not in a time where two mana, like, you have to two mana to foretell, right? So it's effectively a 7 or 8 mana spell. And we're long gone past the days of on my two mana turn, I can just take it off and like foretell. Next. Like, I need to be playing a removal spell right then and there. Yeah. I need to be digging for my lands or whatever. So it is very expensive too. But
you would play 4 of them. You don't just play 1, right?
Yes. Right. Because you want to chain them.
So good. It's not even a card, guys.
you don't got to tell me. You don't got to convince me, Richard. I love that card. You got to convince Seth.
It's at the top of S tier. I'm leaving. I haven't touched it. It's sticking there. So let's go to our final control finisher, our current control finisher, Doomsday Excruciator. So 6 black pips for a 6/6 flyer. When it enters, everyone's got to exile everything but their bottom 6 cards of their library. And then if you have this, you got to draw an extra card on your upkeep. So this is the card that I think would make Nefalia Drownyard actually potentially very good in this standard. But how good do you think this is? In the bigger picture of Magic, is this like a really good control finisher? Does it just happen to be good in our current format? How good is Doomsday, really?
As someone who plays this now, this is an F as a control finisher. This is not a control finisher. this is a mill deck finisher.
So you don't consider the Doomsday Excruciator deck to be a control deck? Interesting.
No. I consider it turbo mill. That's what it really is, right? Like, how is this a control deck finisher?
Wait, but that was Drownyard, not a mill deck. If you're gonna say it like that, right?
No.
But the problem Drownyard... is you need the reanimation with this. No, like, you're not gonna with a straight face just throw it in your like Dimir control deck, right? It's because you have Superior Spider-Man that you are playing this.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
If I'm gonna add reanimate plus card. Aren't there better cards to add than this in, like, the history of Standard if I'm about to go do that, right? So I agree it's not a very good finisher because it's, like, this part combo deck.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm just going to 2-card combo kill you, then I can list lots of cards. But, like, if I just took a Dimir shell, not even Dimir, like, it has to be mono black if you're trying to cast it. You're not casting this in a Dimir shell, right? But theoretically, a Dimir shell of counter spells and removal and card draw... Are you just going to slap in an Excruciator and call it a day? Like, no, you cannot do that, right? So I don't think it really counts.
You can even put River Churn Monument into this in place of it. That's a closer to a control finisher, back to like the days of I got to put a millstone in or something like that out of the board. Yeah. River Churn Monument, I think, is actually better.
Interesting. I mean, I guess maybe there's an argument we just don't have a control finisher in current standard. Like, I feel like the Excruciator deck is the closest thing we have to like a tier anymore. Control deck.
We have Jeskai Revelation. We do have, believe it or not, I do still think River Churn Monument is a control finisher, right? Like, that card is gas.
And but those decks are pretty far down. If you look at, like, the metagame page, they're definitely not, like, top tier at this point.
But, like, you see, if you look at a lot of those decks in their sideboards, they do have River Churn Monument because you want them in the control mirror.
That's true.
Right? Like,
that is
like
true.
They are the finisher in that situation, and against Excruciator as well, right? Because if they pop off with Demon, now they have to stare down the fact that you're going to mill them back.
All right, how about this then? So if we're going to say this isn't a control finisher, to wrap up our control finisher tier list, what is the best control finisher in current standard? Going River Churn Monument, Krim, would that be, as the control master, would you say that's like the best one that exists in current standard? Or Jeskai Revelation, I guess, could be up there. Shiko, so, maybe,
Shiko,
if you really want to.
No. Shiko is not what it once was. I had to cut those from the deck. Just like all the control decks, all the good ones, they realize at some point these creatures may not be it. And so they just trim them for more answers. And I think Jeskai Revelation is actually closer to a Power Crept Sphinx's Rev. So if you want to know what a good Sphinx's Rev looks like in 2026, I think it's Jeskai Revelation. And then I think, believe it or not, I still choose River Churn Monument over that.
All right. I mean, River Churn is my bias. You do got to kind of be a mill control deck or have a mill plan, I think, to really. But we have a lot of pieces for that. I'd probably go with Jeskai Revelation is my pick for like the number one control finisher right now, if we're not counting Excruciator. What about you, Richard? You got any vote for best current control finisher?
It's Stock Up. Like, I'm not even kidding.
That's basically
like Jace the Mind Sculptor or Sphinx's Revelation or Teferi or some garbage. Like, We're beyond the days of like resolving like a 6, 7, 8 mana spell to end the game, right? You're like, well, the top of my curve is like 3. I'm going to play this. I'm going to get 2 more cards and then you're dead, right? So I think Stock Up is the replacement to Sphinx's Rev, right? And you just, you basically Snapcaster beats them with whatever crap you have in your deck after resolving, you know, the third Stock Up. Right, so you know,
like a decree,
we're not
of justice.
Revving into rev, we're stock upping, and then just beating them with whatever garbage we have sitting around, right?
Yeah, I guess that's true. Although, then is Brainstorm a legacy control finisher because it draws you cards and finds the ways to win the game? That seems
because if they resolve a Brainstorm, you don't scoop it up, but if they resolve a late game Stock Up, you kind of just like, okay, it's done, right?
Yeah,
like,
is it though? I don't.
Depends what they show you, right? But that's as close as like resolving a Rev, no? Like, aren't you more scared of Stock Up than you are Rev today? If your opponent casts a Stock Up, you're like, oh God. Right?
Whereas,
like, Rev, you're like, whatever, Rev for 2, 3.
I mean, Jeskai Revelation. I'd be more scared of Jeskai Revelation than that. But I'm also very scared of Stock Up. All right, one final question, and we got to wrap it up. Did I leave anything off this list that you really wanted to shout out? I know, Richard, you mentioned the other cycling one. Shark Typhoon. You would have had that as like an S tier.
I think Shark Typhoon
would
still see play.
You think it would still see play, yeah. I think it would still be good. What about you, Krim? Is there anything missing?
I think something I'd still like to put on here is probably Teferi Teachings. I know that that deck, like, it's not any one card, right? That's the why it's not on here. But I really like the idea of Teferi Teachings. It played like a control deck. And really, the flash package, the reason why there's no one card to put it at the face is because it's really just Teferi and Mystical Teachings grab a ham sandwich that
whatever
has
you
flash.
Need, yeah,
whatever you need. And it is more of like the toolbox. The toolbox of like control decks. So I really like that.
The only other one I thought of that I didn't put on because I wasn't sure if it counted was maybe Uro. I remember Uro being very good in like these mid-rangey kind of control-y decks, but
that's
thought it might be more mid-range
deck.
Than control.
Yeah.
So I left it off, but
Oko.
I mean,
gross.
I don't think of Oko as a control deck either, really. Like, the food deck...
You know what the problem is? It's because you're so efficient, you just slap it in a mid-range deck and call it a day. Right? But, because if you played the control deck, you would have put Oko in your control deck, but you would have got smacked around by the mid-range version, so you just didn't play it. But... you would just play it as top end of your control deck, and it'd be like the best top end ever. And you can just sneak it in on two or three or whatever, right? So I think actually, like, some of the best control finishers get stolen for like the hyper efficient mid range strategies, like Vivi or something. Like, maybe you just slap that as like your control finisher, right? Yeah, but you're like, I'll just go ahead and be aggressive with it and kill you, right? Yeah. So I think that's what ends up happening.
Bant Stoneblade, didn't that exist for a while in Modern with Horizons? That just played like a control deck, right? So I guess that's fair. But all the problem here is the rest of your control deck sucks, right? It's so much worse than your Oko.
No,
why would you just play Bant Control today?
And if for whatever reason I put a gun to your head, said you can't play mid range, and you'd be like, I don't know, I'll just put Oko in this control deck and call it a day, right? Like, it's just because the mid range version usually ends up being better,
right? I think
historically
that's...
Oko was not a control finisher, right?
That's true.
Like, but I think I see what you're saying though. Like, if you were banned from playing Oko in mid range, I think it would have been very good in control. But it just turns out it was even better in like mid range, so you never had to put it in control really because you already had a better
Uro,
version existing.
Like, Uro falls in that slot as well, right? It's just better to be aggressive with it. But if you were just a slow girly deck, I would just play Uro.
It would still
call
be
it a
good,
day.
Yeah. Anyway, that is our control finisher tier list. You have seen how we have ranked these cards with the Nefalia Drownyard on the top somehow. But let us know what y'all think.
It's free.
What's your favorite control finisher?
Not even a card.
What did we get right? What did we get wrong? Let us know in the comments. Thank you to our sponsors. Thanks to everyone for watching. And we'll be back next week to do it again. So until then, have a spectacular week, everyone. And this is a crew signing out.